tonight, several developing stories as we come on the air, ramping up vaccinations across this country. 2 million shots a day now, long lines in Orlando, the National Guard assisting in Kansas City, Yankee Stadium with shots around the clock, and tonight lifting mask mandates, the Texas governor explaining why, after criticism from President Biden, and Alabama's Republican governor saying her state's mask mandate has worked and will remain in effect. What we're seeing in the Senate as we come on the air tonight, the debate now underway over help for Americans in this pandemic. The president's COVID relief bill, Vice President Kamala Harris, and the tie-breaking moment opening the debate. Will this become a sign of the times in this 50-50 Senate? And news on those $1,400 stimulus checks. Mary Bruce asking the president tonight about the change now involving who will get those checks. The U.S. Capitol on high alert amid that new warning, a potential plot. Authorities say today was the date discussed involving a militia group. And tonight, what the Capitol Police are now asking for involving the National Guard. Martha Raddatz with live reporting from the Capitol. The former police chief and the stunning surveillance tonight. Authorities say these are images of him pouring fuel onto a home, setting it on fire, and that he did it several times, that he allegedly had a list of targets. The U.S. and Iran, ABC News now confirming tonight, President Biden called off a second airstrike against an Iranian-backed militia in Syria just an hour before, after learning women and children were in the area. And there is news tonight about the rocket attack on U.S. forces in Iraq, launched from this flatbed truck. And all of this as the Pope visits Iraq tomorrow. Ian Pannell, live from Iraq tonight. Here at home, the water crisis in an American city. Families with no safe drinking water for weeks, now lining up just to get water. Prince Harry and Meghan and the first clips, what she claims about the royal family tonight. And now the royal staff with new allegations involving Meghan. And the SpaceX test flight. They hope to bring Americans into space, that landing, but then the explosion moments later. What they're now saying tonight.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to have you with us here on a Thursday night. And we begin tonight with the images from across this country ramping up vaccinations, and that number now 2 million shots a day. And it comes as the president and Dr. Fauci now warns that now is not the time to lift restrictions. Here in New York tonight, Yankee Stadium now offering vaccinations around the clock. The newest weapon, of course, the one-shot Johnson & Johnson vaccine being given all night long. FEMA opening 9 new mega sites across the country this week. Look at this. People lining up for their shot in Orlando today. The supply to states is now up by about 26% from just a week ago. And tonight, that key number, 53,986,000 people have now received at least one dose. That's more than 20% of all adults. And tonight, the debate growing over states now lifting mask restrictions, Texas and Mississippi moving to allow businesses to reopen at 100% capacity. The Texas governor tonight now responding after President Biden criticized the move. And the Republican governor from Alabama today, Kay Ivey, saying their statewide mask mandate is working, extending it into next month. And all of this as new numbers from the CDC tonight show an uptick now. COVID cases increasing 3.5% within the last week. Deaths up more than 2%. ABC's Whit Johnson leading us off tonight from New York.
Tonight, a pivotal milestone. The U.S. now averaging 2 million vaccine doses per day. Hundreds in long lines waiting for shots in Florida. The National Guard assisting in Kansas City.
I just want to get a vaccine and one that will work.
Starting today, Yankee Stadium will be one of the mass vaccination sites offering appointments 24 hours per day. But the overnight appointments are reserved for that new single-dose Johnson & Johnson vaccine.
Alabama today easing restrictions on indoor dining, but keeping its mask mandate for another month.
The bottom line is we've kept the mask mandate in place for more than a generous period of time because it's helped.
But Mississippi and Texas dropping masks altogether. The Texas governor defending his move after the president called it Neanderthal thinking.
The mask requirement being eliminated isn't going to make that big of a change in the state of Texas. Also, people in Texas will continue to wear masks even though there's not a state mandate.
Texas has reported more cases in the past week than any other state in the country, nearly 50,000.
Now is not the time to pull back. Over the last 7 days or so, we've reached a bit of a plateau with a deflection of the curve. Isn't going straight down the way it was. That's a bad sign.
Dr. Joseph Varone from Houston's United Memorial Medical Center has been on the front lines of the COVID fight for 350 straight days.
Do you think Texas is ready to remove the mask?
Absolutely not. In April, we lifted the restrictions in the state of Texas, and guess what? May, June, and July were the worst months of my life. I signed more death certificates on those 3 months than ever in my entire life.
You'll remember Dr. Varone from this touching image that went viral last year, wrapped in PPE, comforting a COVID patient. But he's now worried loosening restrictions could threaten progress.
That light at the end of the tunnel, at least in Texas, just got a little farther away than what it was.
It's great to hear from Dr. Varone again tonight after so much time. And Whit joined us now from Yankee Stadium tonight, where they're ramping up those vaccinations. And Whit, you know, the race to vaccinate is also a race, as we've been reporting here, to stay one step ahead of these variants. And I know you have new numbers tonight involving a variant and the spread across the country.
David, this is one of the biggest concerns among health officials right now at this pivotal moment. That highly contagious UK variant has now been confirmed in 48 states. And in Texas alone, which just lifted its mask mandate, officials have confirmed five different variants, including troubling strains from the UK, Brazil, and South Africa. David.
Whit Johnson leading us off tonight. Whit, thank you. Of course, Americans waiting on vaccinations, millions also waiting for economic help in this pandemic. And at this hour, the Senate is now debating the president's COVID relief bill and those $1,400 checks for most Americans. We reported here there has been a change in those checks. So Mary Bruce asking the president about that just today. And Vice President Kamala Harris and the tie-breaking moment that opened this whole debate, will that become a sign of the times in this 50-50 Senate? Here's Mary tonight.
Tonight, President Biden's massive $1.9 trillion COVID relief bill has finally made its way to the Senate floor. In a sign of the divisions gripping Washington, all Republicans voting against moving forward. Vice President Kamala Harris stepping in to break the tie.
On this vote, the yeas are 50, the nays are 50. The Senate being equally divided, the vice president votes in the affirmative, and the motion to proceed is agreed to.
The bill includes $160 billion for testing and vaccinations, help for small businesses, and $1,400 checks to people making up to $75,000 a year. For those making up to $80,000, a slightly smaller check. It's less than what Biden wanted.
Are you comfortable with having to limit the direct payments?
Yes.
And enhanced unemployment benefits will now expire at the end of August, a month sooner than Biden had hoped.
Mary Bruce with us live from the White House tonight. And Mary, the Senate divided 50-50, but the president knows what the polls are showing, that this stimulus bill still has broad support from Democrat and Republican voters across the country. But in Washington tonight, as you point out, Senate Republicans, Senate Democrats divided 50-50, and it would appear that Republicans, at least some of them, are trying to deliberately slow this down.
David, Republicans still insist this bill is just too expensive, and now Republicans are intent on delaying this process. Tonight, they are insisting that the Senate clerk read aloud all 628 pages of this bill. It could take up to 10 hours, but Democratic leader Chuck Schumer is adamant they are getting this done this week. And once the president signs the bill, well, then those direct payments, those checks, could start going out within days, David.
All right, Mary Bruce. Mary, thank you. And Mary, as you know, the Senate debating this taking place with the U.S. Capitol still on high alert tonight amid that new warning of a potential plot. Authorities had said that today was the date discussed involving a militia group. Tonight, the Capitol Police are now asking to extend the help that they're getting from the National Guard. So let's get right to Martha Raddatz. She's live at the Capitol tonight with late reporting. Martha?
David, law enforcement knows the Capitol remains an attractive target for extremists, which is why the Capitol Police want to keep some portion of the 5,000 National Guard in place until mid-May. And the Secretary of Defense said last month that if lawmakers need protection, the Guard stands ready to provide it. And a Capitol security review will recommend adding roughly 1,000 new Capitol Police and replacing this razor wire topped fence with mobile and retractable fencing, so the Capitol grounds will still have what they call an open campus feel when the threat level is reduced. But we are definitely not there yet. David?
All right, Martha Raddatz with late reporting. Thank you, Martha. And now to the alarming allegations tonight against a former Maryland police chief. And the stunning surveillance. Police say these are images of him pouring fuel on a home, setting it on fire as people were sleeping inside. And tonight, that former police chief is now accused in at least a dozen fires, and that he allegedly had a hit list. Here's ABC's Steve Osunsami tonight.
It's surveillance video you can see and hear. Maryland authorities tonight, they're saying that this is a former police chief from the city of Laurel and say this is the sound of him pouring fuel onto a home and then down a driveway. They say this is just one of at least a dozen fires he's accused of setting. 69-year-old David Crawford is in jail tonight, charged with multiple counts of arson and attempted murder.
While there were no reported injuries to either residents or fire department personnel as a result of these fires, the outcome could have been very different.
For close to 10 years now, fire investigators here have been trying to find the arsonist who's been burning homes and vehicles in five counties. In charging documents, they say Crawford had a target list and went after people he had issues with, including two doctors and the police chief who replaced him.
To go outside to find my house engulfed and have to come in and wake my family and get them out of the house, it knocked me to my knees.
Police believe that three of those fires were set at homes that belonged to the same person, his stepson. Authorities say that when the stepson would move out of a burned home and into a new one, they say Crawford would burn that home too. He has not yet entered a plea. David?
All right, Steve Osunsami. Thank you, Steve. Now to the U.S. and Iran tonight. ABC News now confirming that President Biden called off a second airstrike against an Iranian-backed militia in Syria just an hour before, after learning women and children had been in the area. And there's also news tonight about the rocket attack this week on U.S. forces in Iraq. And all of this as the Pope visits Iraq tomorrow and what's now being done to protect him. ABC senior foreign correspondent Ian Pannell from Iraq again tonight.
Tonight, ABC News confirming President Biden called off a second airstrike against an Iranian-backed militia last week. Sources say it happened just an hour before F-15Es were ready to bomb separate targets. Aerial reconnaissance spotted women and children at the second site and so couldn't rule out civilian casualties. When that information got to the president, he called off the mission. The other airstrike in Syria did kill at least one Iranian-backed militia fighter. Shortly after, the administration sent a confidential message to Tehran, part of a combined diplomatic and military strategy to communicate the message America wasn't trying to escalate the situation. All this as we're learning more about those 10 rockets fired from a truck at a base housing U.S. soldiers in western Iraq yesterday. At least three of the rockets were shot out of the sky using a defense system, which fires thousands of rounds at an incoming target. And in the middle of these rising tensions, Iraq's awaiting the first visit of Pope Francis tomorrow. It's an unprecedented trip to a country ravaged by years of fighting and the plague of ISIS.
It's hard to overestimate the level of bomb damage to Al-Tahira Church here in Mosul. ISIS use this as one of their bases. They said, we're going to go to Rome. We will occupy Rome. Well, imagine the irony that instead, Rome, Pope Francis, is coming to Al-Tahira Church in Mosul.
The Pope will be protected by heavily armed security forces during his three-day visit, even as he hopes to deliver a message of peace and healing.
Ian Pannell back with us tonight from Erbil, Iraq, where the Pope will soon visit. And Ian, I know the Vatican obviously aware of the risks and what's been going on in the region, but moving forward with this trip.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, there are enormous concerns about this trip. The Pope's going to land in the middle of another significant wave of virus infections in the country. And having so many people gathered together is clearly a risk. Throw in the threat from ISIS and growing U.S.-Iranian tensions, and Vatican advisors are worried for the Pope's safety. But he's adamant that his pilgrimage to the so-called cradle of Christianity is going to go ahead. David.
All right, Ian, panel tonight. Ian there for the Pope's trip, and we'll see you later this week, Ian. Back here at home tonight in the water crisis in Jackson, Mississippi. Weeks after the devastating winter storm, 100 reported water main breaks and families with no safe drinking water now for weeks. Now lining up just to get water, and ABC's Victor Akendo tonight is in Jackson.
Good morning.
Tonight, this is how many in Jackson, Mississippi are getting their water. Lynn Holmes making the line for her one-month-old.
You have to go through this with a one-month-old infant?
Yes.
How much tougher has that made it?
Woo, rough. You know, they got to have that water. This
Baby.
Is crazy. This is not real. I don't understand it. I really don't.
Here at this distribution site, people are coming for two types of water. You've got drinking water, and then inside that tanker, non-potable.
That's just so people can flush their toilets.
The city now on its third week under a boil water alert, and just look at what was coming out of the pipes.
That's what we're supposed to be boiling and drinking.
Crews working around the clock to repair 100 reported water main breaks after that historic winter storm slammed the state last month.
The repairs to our infrastructure, the repairs to our aging pipes and roads are long overdue.
The city's water treatment plant forced to shut down yesterday. Water pressure too low to reach every home.
We just barely hanging in though.
Who do you blame for this?
The city of Jackson needs to be held responsible.
Tonight, the water pressure here in Jackson is improving, but there's still a lot of work ahead. This crew working on repairing yet another water main break. The mayor is now asking for $47 million to repair the water system, but the public works director says they need $2 billion for the entire infrastructure. David?
Well, let's hope the help arrives in any way it can and soon. Victor, thank you. And we have been reporting here on the growing number of attacks on Asian Americans across this country. And tonight, yet another disturbing attack, this time in New York City at a subway entrance. Police are investigating this surveillance video. It's difficult, showing the attacker appearing first, then knocking a man to the pavement, then walking into the subway. An awful scene. Police releasing this photo of the suspect they're now looking for. The NYPD is investigating the attack on 56-year-old Tao Ming Soon as a possible hate crime. He's injured, but as you can see there, he's going to be okay. Tonight, ABC News with a special report, Stop the Hate, the Rise in Violence Against Asian Americans, streaming tonight on ABC News Live, Hulu, or anywhere you stream. When we come back here on the news tonight, Prince Harry and Meghan and the first clips of that interview, what Meghan now claims about the royal family tonight.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Tonight, Prince Harry and Duchess Meghan and their claims about the royal family, the clip from their interview with Oprah Winfrey, it comes just as Buckingham Palace now says it's opening an investigation into bullying allegations against Meghan involving several staffers, many questioning the timing. And this is what Duchess Meghan told Oprah about a culture of lies.
I don't know how they could expect that after all of this time, we would still just be silent if there is an active role that the firm is playing in perpetuating falsehoods about us.
Prince Harry also telling Oprah that leaving royal life has been, quote, unbelievably tough for both of them. To the index of other news tonight, and we're monitoring powerful earthquakes triggering tsunami watches and warnings in the Pacific. Hawaii had been on alert following an 8.1 magnitude quake off the coast of New Zealand. That tsunami watch lifted just a short time ago. Several major quakes today triggering back-to-back tsunami warnings for New Zealand as well. And SpaceX, which hopes to take Americans into space, and the test flight and landing followed by an explosion. Minutes after landing, the SpaceX Starship rocket exploding on the pad, a possible leak from a propellant tank may be to blame. The third explosion involving a rocket SpaceX hopes to use for crewed space missions beginning in 2 years. Finally tonight, America Strong, the family photo, now home. Take a close look at the photo that Victoria Johnson found in a book that she bought at a used bookstore in New York City years ago. For some reason, Victoria said she wanted to hold onto that photo because she wondered about the family in the picture. And last week, after years of holding onto that photo, she decided to post it on Twitter, wondering if she would learn anything more. Right away, the clues. One person writing the books are the Lincoln Library of Essential Information, if it helps. Another saying the photo in the background is Dream Lake, Rocky Mountain National Park, Colorado. A third writing that's a mid-century cane barrel back armchair. And then Carol Howlett from Hudson, Ohio wrote, I think that's my Uncle Sheldon and family. And it was.
Hi, David.
Tonight, Victoria and the photo.
It was about helping humans connect with other humans, something that's been hard in some ways during the pandemic.
Victoria carefully putting it in an envelope and sending it to Richardson, Texas, to the little girl in that photo, Valerie Suddeth. She was just 9 years old at the time. She's now 65.
Hi, David.
Valerie with her family photo, now home. She had never seen it, but she remembers the time, the new haircut. And after having lost her father, it was the first photo with her mother's new husband, her new dad.
My first impression was, that's my new haircut. And I was really, really happy because I had a new dad.
Tonight, Valerie grateful to Victoria for saving that photo all these years.
This was social media at its finest, meant to do what it is supposed to do.
Wow, well said. That photo, now home. I'll see you tomorrow. Good night.